Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, and it's happening this week because we have a group of friends from America. They're coming to see us here in the UK. They're planning to do a whistle-stop tour of London, you know, the major sites, Buckingham Palace, the Tower of London, Westminster Abbey. And then one of our group added to the list. Of course, she said, we can't come to London and not see Big Ben. And in so doing, she revealed that she is one of millions who have believed a popular error. The famous landmark is actually called the Elizabeth Tower, the Victorian architectural marvel, which is as high as 21 London buses sitting on top of each other. Well, the tower contains the bell, and the bell is really called Big Ben. You see, the popular consensus is wrong, but the mistake continues. Now, why do I share this useless piece of information? Well, it's a simple illustration of the truth that we're exploring tonight, and that is that the crowd can be wrong. Just because popular culture firmly believes an idea, that doesn't make it right. Sometimes just going with the flow can mean that we end up drowning in falsehoods. And as Christians, we need to be really aware of this because Scripture makes it clear that we're basically called to be nonconformists, people who align themselves with the teaching of Jesus, the truths of Scripture, rather than just meandering along in agreement with the general consensus. So tonight, let's talk about this truth that the crowd can be wrong, and we should add, we can be wrong too. It happened in a shoe shop, and then again in a pub where we'd stop for lunch, and yet again in a local convenience store. In fact, it happened without fail no less than 6 times in 1 week. Picture the scene. I walk up to the bar or counter and there's the person who's serving and they use the same sentence like a mantra that's been agreed upon by retailers everywhere. They could greet customers with a smiley, "Can I help you?" or "Hello, what can I get for you?" But no, those were sentences from a more pleasant retail experience of yesteryear. Now, the standard greeting seems to go like this. "You're right there." "What?" "For one thing, I'm looking for a coffee, not an opportunity to tell you if I'm all right or not. And secondly, in what specific sense are you inquiring as to my being all right? Would you like to know my mood, my blood pressure, my BMI, or how my recovery is going from a minor surgery completed some 18 months ago? You all right there?" I'm asked. "Am I all right where?" Perhaps it's because I pop in and out of the UK, which makes me notice these things. And then another phrase that I used to hear endlessly was, "I'll tell you what," before every pronouncement. Simon Cowell frequently uses this verbal preface before he tells a singer, "Well, what?" Simon Says is an old game, but when Simon Cowell says something and a few other celebs adopt the same turn of phrase, before long, it spreads like an unwelcome rash. This is surely because we humans are creatures that herd. How quickly we emulate those we admire and imitate those who are famous. In short, we copy, we go with the crowd. Rather obviously, the fashion industry knows this well because we buy what's hot because someone somewhere decides it's hot. And sometimes this verges on the ridiculous, as the practice known as sagging demonstrates. For the uninitiated, sagging is where chaps wear their jeans so low that they show off their pants. Some think that this trend, popularized by hip-hop artists in general and Justin Bieber specifically, originated from prison inmates being denied their belts to reduce the risk of suicide. Lemming-like, we mindlessly follow. When I say we, I don't mean me. I always wear a belt. In recent years, following the crowd has become a very serious issue. Those who want to lead us over a cliff often insist that they are the only ones who are right, and we disagree with the crowd at our peril. Liberal fundamentalism rules. If I disagree with the popular consensus, then I'm quickly tagged as hateful or bigoted or one who must be silenced and banished immediately. It's ironic because if we differ in our convictions and opinions, we're accused of being intolerant And that just won't be tolerated. As I've mentioned, we Christians are called to be non-conformists, regardless of which denominational club we play for. That doesn't mean that we need to be like those who delight in disagreeing and endlessly reply, yes, but, to whatever anyone says, thrilled at any opportunity to differ and bring correction. It's not so much that we need to be original, but rather follow the ultimate original, Jesus. He consistently walked out of step with the religious and social norms of the day. The Pharisees, those religious barons, demanded that he conform and condemned him with the shrill tones peculiar to the hyper-religious. But they couldn't cramp his style as he lunched with outcasts, touched lepers, and toppled rip-off temple tables. If we're to walk in his footsteps, there will be times when faithfulness to him calls us to take an unpopular road. I mentioned lemmings earlier, famous for hurtling over cliffs in large numbers in what seems like a mindless suicide pact. But apparently there's some reasoning behind the free-falling, because lemmings have population explosions every 3 or 4 years, and when that happens, a large group will set out in search of a new home. Able to swim, if they reach a water obstacle, such as a river or lake, they may try to cross it. Inevitably, a few drown, but the idea of them mindlessly jumping persists. It was helped along by Hollywood. In the 1958 Disney nature film White Wilderness, filmmakers staged a lemming death plunge, pushing dozens of lemmings off a cliff as the cameras rolled. The images wrongly convinced several generations of moviegoers that these little rodents do, in fact, possess a bizarre instinct to destroy themselves. Lemmings take the plunge because they're in search of a new home. There's a reason for their high diving. But we humans often have no reason at all for our herd-like behavior. We follow the crowd. We get in step with everyone else simply because everyone else is marching in that direction. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus and follow him, because he'll lead us on the right path. And to quote those two often used mantras that I mentioned earlier, I'll tell you what, I am all right, thank you, at least at the moment. And the crowd isn't always right. We've reflected on the uncomfortable truth that we humans like to run in herds, and this well-known fact was especially demonstrated to me in Prague, the jewel of the Czech Republic, where I was speaking at the Salvation Army European Youth Congress. This magnificent medieval city was teeming with English tourists, many of whom were prepared to fork out cash for an airfare in exchange for cheap beer. The stag party scene is huge there. Boarding our flight at Bristol, we were greeted by a gaggle of giggling chaps sporting matching T-shirts, all embroidered with the name of their unfortunate friend and victim, who was wearing a skirt, red fishnet tights, and a shocking pink wig. This is called having fun. The group also had matching beer bellies, which is apparently deemed to be a desirable fashion item. While in Prague, I was intrigued by the antics of a number of liquid lunch imbibing Brits abroad there. Loud ladettes led the raucous singing and celebrated the myth that following a certain football team makes one a superior human being. Frankly, it was not a British sight as I watched the locals sniff with disdain. It's a sight that tempted me for a moment to resign from being British. My time in Prague has shown me once again that superstitious religion feeds our herding instinct too. In the centre of the beautiful Charles Bridge is an iconic statue which should be rubbed by all who pass by, or so local custom dictates. Lines of eager tourists wait their turn to give the brass a buffing for reasons which are apparently unclear to most of them. The fact that everyone else is into pious polishing is enough. Next in line, please. I fell victim to herding of the culinary kind, erroneously assuming that a full restaurant must indicate that good food is served there because, look, lots of people are in there. Sampling the unfortunately described Czech cuisine, pork knuckle with sauerkraut and dumplings, this was described by my wife Kay as a cultural experience, which is in fact code for a cataclysmic culinary disaster. The Czechs are genuinely quiet undemonstrative people, which may be the result of their fondness for cabbage soup. One tends to be tight-lipped when concentrating on combating another wave of internal combustion. But while in Prague, I saw a couple of refreshing jailbreaks from this herd mentality. I watched as the world chief of the Salvationists, General John Larson, and his wife, Commissioner Frieda, were hard at work there. As leaders of the largest army in the world, the distinguished-looking couple could have easily made a brief appearance, the social equivalent of patting those 800 young people on the head, and then disappeared back to the elite seclusion often enjoyed by denominational big cheeses, but not those two. Over the 4 days we were there, they laughed with and listened to hordes of grinning young Salvationists who could barely disguise their delight because their head and First Lady were among them. One afternoon in the sun-baked old town square, the general spoke at an open-air gathering with warmth, compassion, and sterling clarity about the Lord Jesus. A few moist eyes were evident among the tourist crowd during the event, and the Salvation Army youth cheered their silver-haired hero on. And then I watched with greater fascination as a young, trendy Salvationist chap broke away from the safe camaraderie of his fellow Christians and made his way into a large group of shirtless, lager-loaded chaps who were working hard at filling the small spaces between their tattoos with the lobster red of sunburn and who were quite happy, so to speak. He smiled and shook hands with each of them and chatted warmly about God and life for a good half hour, answering their loud, slurred questions with kindness. And when it came to bid them farewell, it was obvious he'd made a real impression. Strangely, as he walked away, it was as if suddenly his audience reverted to the herding politics of the pack because they burst into a loud, mocking song, perhaps embarrassed at the vulnerability that they'd shared with the brave young man. But who knows what long-term impact his words and smile might have had upon them. As I left that square, the smell of Pilsner and the sound of soccer songs in the air, I wanted to raise my hat to the leaders and troops of the Salvation Army. Most of them wear uniform, but helpfully, those I met that weekend were not given to mindless uniformity. And I'm wondering about my own herding instincts. Sometimes going with the flow just won't work, especially if the flow is headed over Niagara. Let's be willing to break step with the crowd. And because of loving God and loving his world and people in it, be ready to stand up and be counted. As we've been thinking about how the crowd can be wrong, I really think that we also need to concede that we can be wrong. Sometimes we Christians, we just get used to the feeling that we are endlessly in the right. The fact that we hold a Bible in our hands, which we rightly insist is the inspired word of God, it can give us a sense of being in the know and therefore also correct and right. But then we rush to the conclusion that it's our choice of music, our understanding of what the Bible says, our brand of church, and in fact, our entire worldview on life, that we're basically in the right most, if not all of the time. And while we insist on being experts, our churches can implode, our marriages erode, and others around us take a vow of silence rather than take us on. So let's walk in humility. Let's realize that because everybody thinks it doesn't mean that the thinking is right. Let's also know that we too can be wrong. As we walk humbly with Jesus in community, bathing our minds with Scripture, let's be confident but never arrogant. The crowd can be wrong. And so can we. Have a great week.
Lucas on Life.